We're starting off the show today with a
pop quiz!
So antibiotics kill...
bacteria.
Give me an example of a bacterial infection.
Tetanus, urinary tract infections, tuberculosis.
Great, top of the class. And how do we treat these?
Antibiotics.
Now, explain antibiotic resistance.
So, antibiotics kill bacteria, which cause things like tetanus and whooping cough. However, if you overuse antibiotics or don't finish a whole packet of them, the weak bacteria gets killed off. But some of the bacteria remains, and this is usually the fittest bacteria.
30 seconds left.
And if we apply Darwin's theory of evolution, the fittest bacteria are the ones that survive, thrive, and reproduce. So not only do you have bacteria that are super fit, they are also resistant to antibiotics. So when these bacteria have babies, the babies are also resistant.
And time's up. Well done. You passed antibiotics 101.
Thank you. I think most of the population gets this on some level. You finish your 5-day packet of antibiotics, even if you're feeling better by day 3. But some people are still going to the doctors for antibiotics if they've got something like a common cold. Guilty there.
Which is a problem because...
resistance to antibiotics risks a health catastrophe that should be up there in concern with terrorism.
This is a very serious threat. It's a war, and I fear some of the battles are being lost.
In 2015, the World Health Organization warned that we're heading toward a post-antibiotic era when more people will die from common infections.
Antibiotic resistance is also considered a threat as big as climate change. Why?
I definitely agree that it's up there with climate change. For one reason, antibiotic resistance is a global problem, just like climate change. And it doesn't matter how good one country are at preserving their antibiotics and using them appropriately if nobody else in the world does.
This is Laura.
It's Laura McCaukey, and I'm a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Technology, Sydney.
And if that didn't scare you, this will.
In the States, there's about 24,000 people a year die from just antibiotic-resistant infections. And somebody said to me, that's the equivalent of a large airline plane coming down, crashing down and killing everyone on board once a week for a year. Now, if that happened by the third or fourth plane crashing, you would have done something about it. There would be national outrage. However, with antibiotic resistance, it's because it's small groups of people in hospitals and community centres, and it's not a catastrophic event like Ebola that people haven't really noticed.
Okay, so it can't all be because people are using antibiotics to get rid of their cold.
Yeah, it's actually because antibiotics are in a lot of the food we eat.
Yes, so one of the big problems is the use of antibiotics in the farming industry. So antibiotics are used in the food for many farm animals, and this is for two reasons. One is it prevents the animals from getting sick because we have very intensive farming. So if you keep lots of animals together, then the chances are they will get sick. It's like having a lot of people on a bus in winter. You're likely to pick something up. And the other reason is that if you use low doses of antibiotics in animal food, then it helps the animals grow larger, so you get more, you get fatter chickens or bigger cows, so then the farmers get more profit. So that's called growth promotion, and the use of antibiotics as growth promotion started in the 1950s, and in the 1970s it was already people were starting to realise that this was having an effect on resistant infections in humans. However, it's still done worldwide. Europe, or the EU, banned the use of antibiotics for growth promotion in 2006. However, countries like America are still using this practice.
So antibiotics are being fed to pigs and cows to keep them healthy and make them meaty and delicious. So when I have my pork chops for dinner, am I ingesting antibiotics?
No, because before animals are allowed to go to slaughter, there is a withholding period so that antibiotics cannot be administered to an animal within a safe withholding period so that all the antibiotics are leached from the animal before they're slaughtered.
The problem isn't the animals being fed the antibiotics. It's what comes out the other end. Stephen Georgievic is a professor of infectious diseases at the I3 Institute at UTS. As he explains, manure is sprayed as a fertiliser over crops, and it also ends up in waterways. And this is where the fit bacteria thrive.
I know there's quite a lot of literature talking about how this happens in some of the countries overseas, whereby the waste is definitely sprayed out onto pasture. And although there are people looking at reducing heavy metal toxicities and other environmental pollutants from waste, I don't think enough has been done to eliminate antibiotic residues from waste.
And once antibiotics are in your fruit and veg, they are really hard to sterilise.
Amazing. No more salad for me.
But this research is still developing. Don't get too excited, Jake.
Well, we don't know how bad the problem is. There hasn't been a great deal of studies done. There are studies starting to emerge where people are looking at contamination of fruit and vegetables with antibiotic resistance bacteria. And we're still in the infancy of understanding the scale of that problem. So I don't want to scare people. But yes, there is definitely a potential for that to occur.
So now this becomes a question of how we change our food processes. Thankfully, Stephen and his team are encouraging farmers to feed animal things to keep them healthy that aren't antibiotics. Looks like you might still have to eat your leafy greens, Jake.
Oh, joy.
So that includes things like developing vaccines, particularly vaccines for the veterinary and livestock industries and for aquaculture, and also alternatives such as probiotics or prebiotics that influence the gut flora, so that we can improve animal health by manipulating gut flora rather than relying on the use of blunt instruments like antibiotics to control disease.
You might have heard Stephen mention there that antibiotics are a blunt instrument. And what this means is that it kills off the bad bacteria, but it also takes the good bacteria with it. This is obviously not good for the health of humans or animals.
Laura, who we heard from earlier, is working on a way to tackle this. They're called protein antibiotics, and they are a type of antibiotic that is selective in what bacteria it kills.
The protein antibiotics that I work on are called narrow-spectrum antibiotics, and they only kill one specific type of bacteria. And this is important because it can keep your good bacteria alive whilst you're getting treated, and this will make you a healthier patient. And these protein antibiotics are very good for trying to avoid resistance. Resistance is inevitable. In any antibiotic you develop, the bacteria will develop resistance to it. There's no two ways about it. However, the ways that the protein antibiotics enter into the bacteria is they use specific systems that the bacteria use to take nutrients up. So the bacteria can't get rid of these systems very easily without starving or becoming sick themselves. So they are very promising molecules. However, they are still in the very early stages of development.
As Laura said, it's early stages. They are currently still testing the narrow-spectrum antibiotics on animals.
I've tested these antibiotics in animals and mice so far, and the results are very promising. They're very, very effective at very low concentrations, and they don't appear to cause any damage to the host or the animal tissue.
Class dismissed. Make sure you do your homework. We'll be testing you on this next week.
Only joking.